Mesechtavay Dezara, Daf Lamed Ches. Food that was cooked by a guy, which is called Bishul Akum, is asur to be eaten. This is an Isser Midrabanan in conjunction with an Asmachta. Rashi explains the reason it's asur is we're afraid he'll mix in non-kosher food. According to Taisvis, it's asur Mishum Chasanus. In Surah, Reb Shmuel Bar Reb Yitzchak said that any food that can be eaten raw, kol hanechal kamayshehu chai, there is no din of Bishul Akum on that food. In Pumbedisa, they said, anything that isn't eaten al shulchan melachim, meaning that it's not chashav enough to be served at the table of a king, if it's cooked by a guy, there's no din of Bishul Akum. And a Yisrael would be allowed to eat it. Rabbeinu Tam says, we paskin that if either of these two conditions exist, we can be mekel. In other words, you have to have both of these requirements before you have to be machmir for Bishul Akum. Halacha l'maisa, brought in Shulchan Aruch Yeradeya, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. We say that for something to be considered Bishul Akum, it has to have both features. In other words, in order to be machmer, to say that something is Bishul Akum, you have to have both of these features. Number one, it has to be something which is Einu Nechal Kamei Shehu Chai, meaning that it's something which is not normally eaten in its raw state. For example, a piece of meat or a steak would have a problem of Bishul Akum since it's not normally eaten raw. You have to cook it. If it's something you have to cook, then it meets one of the two requirements which would say you have to be machmer on Bishul Akum. Carrots, for example, or vegetables would not fit into this category because you could eat them raw or not raw. The second requirement, it has to be oila al shulchan melachim in order to say you have to be machmer on Bishul Akum, meaning it has to be something which is fit for a king's table. However, something like baked beans, which are not oila al shulchan melachim, you wouldn't have to worry about Bishul Akum. You wouldn't have to be machmer. The proof of this, for example, is that in England, a can of baked beans is always on sale for 15 or 20 cents. Something that cheap would not normally be served on a king's table. So again, you have to have both of these requirements, both the fact that it's Einu Nechal Kamei Shehu Chai, and that it's Oila Al Shulchan Melachim, before you have to be machmer on Bishul Akum. What about potatoes? Is that something that if a guy cooks it, it's Osir Al Bishul Akum? The Chachmas Adam in Klal Samach Vav says that they are Oila Al Shulchan Melachim, therefore they're Osir. But the Aruch HaShulchan says they're not Oila Al Shulchan Melachim. Today, potato chips would be mutter if cooked by a guy, since it's not something which is oil al shulchan melachim. Masha'ikin, if you eat potatoes in a fancy format, for example, a nice potato which was made for a chasana, then the isser of Bishul Akum would apply. We should also point out that the minig Ashkenaz, by both pasakum and Bishul Akum, is to be seimich al hashlachas kisim, meaning that if a Yisrael assists in any part of the cooking, for example, he just turns on the flame, even if he isn't there for any of the baking or the cooking, that's good enough. If he just simply turned on the flame, that's enough. Many bakeries, restaurants, caterers, camps, and so on in the United States are seimech on this Ramah. The minig of Sfardim, however, is not necessarily to be seimech on this Kula. The Gemara then brings Rav Asi, who says that small fish, which are salted, have no din of Bishul Akum, since it could have been eaten without cooking. Taisvus explains, this is only mutter if a Yisrael did the salting. And if a guy later on broils it, a Yisrael can still use it for an Erev Tafshilin. An Erev Tafshilin is if a Yonta falls out on Erev Shabbos, it is usher to cook in preparation for Shabbos, unless you begin the cooking on Erev Yontav via an Erev Tafshilin. If a Yisrael put meat on coals, and a guy came and turned over the coals, it's not called Bishul Akum, and the food is mutter. If food is cooked by Yisrael, at least to the shear of Eichel Ben Drusai, which means generally one-third cooked, even if a guy cooks the rest of it, it's mutter. If a guy lights the fire of an oven, and the Yisrael baked it, or vice versa, there is no isser of Bishul Akum. If 24 hours go by, a pot will only release a flavor which isn't like the flavor that went into it, i.e., now the flavor is neutral, or it's called Nesin Tam Lifgam. It's a machlokes if the pot is mutter, if the original tam was tame. Daf Lamed Tes. The eggs of fish you can buy from anyone, if the chazaka is that they came from kosher animals. The Gemara says chiltis, which is a type of vegetable which is very sharp, is usher to eat if it was cut by a guy, because it was cut with a knife, and even though if something is nice and tam lifgam, the flavor given off by the knife is neutral or bad, which is normally mutter, but since chiltis is sharp, the treif of fat that is embedded in the knife will enhance the flavor of the chiltis, and it'll be nice and tam lishvach, a positive flavor. We should point out that generally, if kosher food is cooked in a pot which has non-kosher food absorbed in its walls, the cooked food is considered not kosher, since it absorbs some of the non-kosher flavor from the walls of the pot. However, if the utensil was not used for more than 24 hours, meaning it's an eina ben yomei, the non-kosher food absorbed in its walls is assumed to be bad, and consequently doesn't aser the kosher food which is subsequently cooked in the pot. Since the non-kosher residue in the walls of the pot, after being there for more than 24 hours, does not enhance the flavor of the food cooked in the pot, but rather it's nice and tam lifgam. It actually ruins the flavor. It doesn't aser the food that absorbs its bad flavor. The Gemara says we say that if someone is trusted, i.e. is called a chaver, we can trust his wife as well, because eishes chaver harehi kechaver. If a daughter of an Am Haaretz marries a chaver, we can only trust her once we see she acts with the proper Yiras Hashem expected of a chaver, i.e., for example, she takes off proper trumas and maisus. Rav says, ches beis yud saf, chavis, is usher with one chasima. Chavis stands for cholav, basar, yayin, or tcheles. These items, if someone sends one of these in the hands of a guy, one chasima on the item is not enough, since these items are expensive. We're choshish that he'll play with the seal and switch the food. However, ches mem pe gimel, cham pag, is okay with one chasima. This stands for chilsis, murius, pas, and gvina. Since these items are lower cost items, we're not choshish that the guy will play with this seal, and therefore they're mutter. The Mishnah. These are the things from goyim which are mutter lachatchila to eat. Number one, milk that was taken from a cow which a Yisrael watched over the chaliva. Number two, honey or grape clusters, even if they are dripping, since the person wants the grapes, not the juice. Number three, pickled items where the derech is not to add vinegar. Number four, full pieces of fish. And number five, olives. Rabbi Yossi says locusts are usher since sometimes they poured wine on the locusts. Gemara. As long as the Yisrael can see the guy milking, even if there are tame animals in the flock, the chalav is mutter, since the guy will be afraid to mix chalav tame into chalav kosher. He's afraid of getting caught. Honey of a guy is mutter, since even though it's bishalakim, since it's nechal kamei shehu chai, can be eaten uncooked, it's mutter. And we're not chayshish for the kalim used, since anything in these kalim would be nice and tam lifgam. Dafmem. If a package of fish has some simanim, that it's kosher, some of the simanim which prove to us that it's kosher, then the fish is mutter. It's a machlokes how many simanim we need, one or two. It's also a question which kind of simanim are acceptable, the head, the spinal cord, or kaskeses, the scales. The Gemara then brings a brisa that allows one to eat sliced fish purchased from a guy, as long as one of the slices in the package has scales, has kaskasim, identifying it as a kosher fish. The Gemara says that the brisa must be referring to a case where there is some proof that all the slices are in fact from the same fish. Otherwise, one must entertain the possibility that some of the slices may have come from a non-kosher fish. Rapapa explains that the brisa is referring to a case where all the slices fit together appropriately, indicating that they all came from one fish. In Shulchan Aruch Yardea, Simen Pei Gimel, Sif Dalad, says that if one finds several slices of fish which all fit appropriately together, it can be assumed that all the slices are from the same fish. Therefore, even if only one of the slices has scales, they are nevertheless all assumed to be kosher. Rav Kahana says the fat, eggs, or innards of a fish, one should only buy from someone who is reliable, i.e., who is a mumcha. If an olive one has is so soft that when you squeeze it, the pit slips right out, it's a siman that the goy may have added wine to it, and therefore it would be usser. Finally, locusts that come from the storehouse or from a ship are mutter, but if it comes from a chenveni, they're usser, since often a chenveni will put wine on top of the locusts. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin the third perek, Kol Hatzlamim. As background, this perek deals with the isser of getting hana from avodah zara. As the pasuk in Devarim, perek Zion says, V'lo savi tayeva el beisacha. If a person gets hana from avodah zara, he gets two lavin and receives malchus twice. The Isser Hana comes in three categories. Number one, the Avodah Zarah itself. Number two, Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, something which services the Avodah Zarah. And number three, Hakravas Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah says, from Rav Meir, all statues put up by Goyim, even if they aren't always used for Avodah Zarah, they're Asur, since once per year they are worshipped. the Chachamim say. An ordinary statue is not Aser Bahana unless the statue is carrying a stick, a bird, or a ball in its hand, which gives it a symbol of dominion. And therefore, it's clearly an Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, it's not Aser Bahana. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if it's holding anything in its hand, it's an indicator that it's worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Aser Bahana. And the Gemara says, Rav Meir made this gezeira based on a city that he lived in. Since in his town many of the tzlamim were worshipped once per year, he asered all tzlamim in the world, even though they weren't worshipped at all. I.e., he's chayish lemiyuta. He's chayish for the miyut. The chachamim weren't geizer this, because in most cities this situation did not exist. I.e., they were not chayish lemiyuta. Daf Mem Aleph. The machlekes in the Mishnah is only in kfarim, in small villages. Rav Meir says they're aser, and the chachamim say they're mutter. But in large cities, statues are all mutter bahana, since city statues aren't built for avodah zarah, but only for beautification purposes. And you could see this if you go to many cities all over the world. There are many tzlamim all around, which are not there for the purpose of worshipping, but only to make it beautiful for statues that are in large squares, and so on. The Ramah, Yeridei Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Aleph, writes that the image of a cross, which Christians worship, is classified as an avodah zarah, and therefore is aser bahana. However, a cross which is on a necklace, on a piece of jewelry, that's not aser bahana, because it's only used as an ornament to beautify the necklace, and it's not actually used for the purpose of worshipping. However, in Sif Gimel he writes that even though it's mutter to have hana from these ornaments, it's still aser to keep one in one's house. The Gemara says a stick or a ball in the hand signals that this tzelem is an avodah zarah, since it symbolizes that this avodah zarah rules over the world. Some add that rings or swords in the hand also symbolize rulership, and therefore it's an avodah zarah, which is aser bahana. The Mishnah. If someone finds pieces of a statue, they're mutter bahana, due to a sfek sveka. Number one, maybe this statue, when it was in a full piece, was not worshipped at all. And even if it was worshipped, the guy maybe was mevatel it by breaking it. Therefore, that's why it's broken. Therefore, it's a sfek sveka. But if the piece found had a tzura of a hand or a foot, then it's aser bahana, since they could still worship that hand or foot. Gemara. However, an avodah zarah, which was for sure worshipped, if it's found broken, it's aser bahana, since we have a suffik, only one suffik. The suffik is if he was mevatel it. We also have a vadai, that it was worshipped. And the rule is, ein suffik maitse midei vadai. Daf Mem Beis. There was a maisa of a mafia man who threw someone's child into a pit, and a kayin came to see if the vlad was a zachar or an akeva, to know how many days of tuma tahara she would have to count. For a zachar, there's 7 days of tuma and then 14 days of tahara. For an akeva, there's 14 days of tuma and 66 days of tahara. The Gemara says if an avodah zarah ended up getting into the Rishus of Yisrael, it can never become batal. If a guy uses the stones used to build the avodah zarah of Marculus, which was worshipped via throwing stones at it, and then they were used to build a path to a house, then they become mutter bahana. If someone finds an avodah zarah, he should grind it up immediately and throw it into the sea, so no one will get hana from it. An asherah tree, which is used for an avodah zarah, shouldn't be used as shade for plants, since this can help the plants grow better, which would be having hana from the avodah zarah. If there is a nest at the top of the tree, you cannot climb the tree to get the nest, since you're using the tree as a ladder, which is getting hana from it. You can only shake the tree so the nest falls off. The next Mishnah. If a person finds a keli that has on it the form of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, then it's aser bahana, and you should throw it into the sea, since it's clear that this is an avodah zarah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's only if it's a chashav a keli is it aser. Gemara. Rav Sheshe said any tzura of a mazel is mutter, except tzuras of the sun and the moon, and any face, a partsuf, is mutter, except for the face of man. Daf Mem Gimel. What is the tzura of a dragon? If the scales are behind the head, then it's aser bahana, because this is a tzura of a dragon. From a particular maisa, we learned three things. Number one, a guy can be mevatel an avodah zarah, which is both his and his friends. Number two, only a guy who understands the nature of avodah zarah can be mevatel it, but not a katan, for example, who doesn't understand. And number three, an akum can be mevatel an avodah zarah, even if it's done to him bal karcha. Rabban Gamliel had in his attic different shapes of the moon, which he used to use to ask Edom how they saw the moon in regards to Kiddush HaChodesh. Aye, but how is this mutter? We know that the Pasuk says, Leisasun iti, in Shmei Chaf, which doesn't allow one to make or keep celestial images. Our answer is this Isser only applies to not making things in the exact shape and size of items from the Beis HaMikdash. For example, a building shape like the Heichal or a menorah with seven branches. Also, the Isser only applies to the four images of Chayis HaKadosh, man, ox, lion, and eagle, which are Iti. They dwell, Iti, with me in Shemayim. Taisus also says that since they were made for the purpose of a mitzvah, and he got them from a guy, he was not over any Isser. A ring whose seal protrudes, which is bailet, cannot be worn with an improper image, but it can be used as a seal. However, if the seal is sunken, it's shaykeah, then it can be worn. The Mishnah. If one finds an avodah zarah, he's supposed to throw it into the yam. Rabbi Yossi says, he does this by first grinding it up and throwing the particles in the air, or he should simply throw it into the yam. Taisu says, whenever it says zarek layam by avodah zarah, it's referring to the yam hamelach. The Chachamim in the Mishnah said, you can't grind it up, since it can create hana via a fertilizer, so the only way to destroy it is to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Daf Mem Dalad, the Gemara. Chizkiyahu HaMelech ground up the snake of copper of Moshe Rabbeinu, since as time went on, people worshipped it as an Avodah Zarah. As a reward to David, in his watching all of the mitzvahs of Hashem, he was given a special crown to show he was roy to be Melech. Finally, David HaMelech had a chariot and 50 special soldiers running in front of him. They all had their spleens and bottom of their feet removed so they'd be able to run faster. The Mishnah. A general asked Rabban Gamliel in Akai in a merchatz there that had an avodah zarah in it. Why do you wash in the bare house of a parditi, which services an avodah zarah? He answered him outside the merchatz, since it was also to teach Torah inside the merchatz, and what he said to him was that the merchatz was really there before the avodah zarah was put there. So the merchatz already belonged to the rabbim, and the avodah zarah was just there for a decoration. The ikar is the merchatz, and the tefil is the avodah zarah. Also, if it was really an avodah zarah, people wouldn't be able to come in naked and urinate in front of it. Gemara. How could he say, Ein Moshivin Bebeis HaMerchatz, to the general, that he couldn't answer him in the merchatz, that's why he answered him outside the merchatz? This halacha of Ein Moshivin Bebeis HaMerchatz is also Torah, so how did he say that inside? Our answer is he only said this once they went outside of the merchatz together. Taisu says he may have said this in the dressing room, but not in the actual Beis HaMerchatz. Finally, an avodah zarah which has a garden or a Beis HaMerchatz, one can derive hana if he doesn't have to pay for the use or if he doesn't have to give a feeling of gratitude to the avodah zarah, which is called Shalai B'Taiva. The Mishnah discusses an exception to the Isser of something that was worshipped for avodah zarah. If Nachrim worshipped the mountains and the hills, these mountains and hills are still mutter bahana. But the ornaments put on the hills, for example, gold and silver, those are asr bahana. If trees are worshipped, though, and they're worshipped as an asherah or an eitz ranan, they're asr bahana, since it is affected by man, i.e. it was planted by man. Tfisas yedei adam. Trees are planted by man, therefore they remain asr bahana. Gemara. Rabbi Akiva said, wherever in Eretz Yisrael, when conquered, you find a high mountain, a lofty hill, or a flourishing tree, there's a good chance there's an avodah zarah there. The Gemara says the machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili is by a seed which was planted by man. So the Tanakhama says, since it's mechuber, it's part of the harim, and gvais, it's also mutter. The avodah zarah is also mutter. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's tfisis yedei adam, and therefore it's aser. If one finds a mizbeach avodah zarah, which is many stones, or a matzevas avodah zarah, which is one stone, we are mechuyev to break it, and after Eretz Yisrael is conquered, it should be burned completely. Daf Mem Vav. If the Goyim worship mountains and hills, they don't become usher, but if they worship the trees and vegetables on the hills, they do become usher, since they're tfisas b'nei adam. Stones from the mountain, which become loose, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yechanan and b'nei Rabbi Chia. If they're mutter or usher, l'halacha avnei har shnedaldalu, the Rambam paskins that they're mutter. If someone took an egg and stood it up on end and then bowed down to it as an avodah zarah, is this called tfisis yedei adam, so it's usher, since he stood it up, or since an egg is an egg and there was no real change in the egg, it's lav tfisis yedei adam and it's mutter. This is also a machlekes. Rabbi Bar Chama said an animal, al bal chai, which is worshipped as avodah zarah, does not become usher bahana, but it is possible to be used as a carbon. This is called nevad ligavaya, as we see from the Pasuk Kol HaBakar. What about Mechuber Lekarka? Although it may be Mutter Bahana, for example, like a mountain, but can its stones be used for a Mizbeach, or is it Nevad Legevaya and Aser? This is also a machlokes. The general rule is that when we have a kal v'chomer, if there's a question to learn it l'kula or l'chumra, we usually learn it l'chumra. Finally, if an animal was nevad or nirva, it becomes osr l'mizbeach, but the child of the animal is mutter l'mizbeach. Daf mem zayin. Regarding mitzvahs, if, for example, someone bowed to a palm tree, can its branches be used for the mitzvah's lulav? For a mitzvah, like lulav? Teiku. Water which belongs to the public cannot become usr, but if it flows into a private yard, it could. The next Mishnah. If someone had a house which shared a wall with the house of Avodah Zarah, and this wall fell in, the Yisrael cannot rebuild it. He should move 4 amos into his territory and then build a wall. The stones, wood, and dirt of the fallen wall, since it has a din of Avodah Zarah, is metama like a sheretz, i.e. via touching. Rabbi Akiva says it's metama like a nida, which means it's metava even via carrying, even via masa. Gemara. The empty 4 amos the Yisrael should use as a beis hakiseh. The Mishnah. There are 3 types of houses of Avodah Zarah that if a guy owns it, bittel is possible, i.e. we can be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Of course, if the Jew owns the Avodah Zarah, there can never be any bittel. What are the 3 types of houses of Avodah Zarah that if a guy owns it, bittel is possible, and therefore you're able to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah? Number one, if lechatchila it was built as an Avodah Zarah, the house can have a bittel Avodah Zarah. Number two, at first it wasn't a house of Avodah Zarah. Then he added one design of Avodah Zarah. Destroying that one layer of design is enough for bittel. And number three, if temporarily a person brought in an ornament or a pestle of Avodah Zarah, if he simply removes it, the house is then mutter. The Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Dalet, Sifkot Yud Zayin, brings the Tshuvas Re'eim, who says that it's mutter to purchase a church building and change it into a shul. In other words, if there's a church building, an organization can then come and buy it and convert it into a shul. The Mishnah Brura, however, in the Bir Halacha, Sif Yud Aleph, Divrei HaMaschil, Neiris, says that the Re'eim brought here by the Magen Avraham, permitting the conversion of a church into a shul, was only referring to a church in which there were no idols or icons, for example, a Protestant church. However, a Catholic church which contains idols is usur to be converted into a shul. The Gemara. If someone bows to a house, the house becomes usur. The next Mishnah. There are 3 types of stones regarding the din of bittel. Number one, if cut from the ground as a platform for a pesel, it's usur, unless the guy is mevatel it. Number two, if a layer is put on for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, then removal of just this layer is okay. And finally, if someone puts in a temporary pesel, once it's removed, it becomes mutter. Daf Mem Ches, the next Mishnah. There are 3 different asherah trees. Number one, it was planted lechatchila for Avodah Zarah, then it's usur until the guy was mevatel it. But if it's owned by Yisrael, of course, it's usur forever. Number two, if it was planted stam, and later it was cut and trimmed for Avodah Zarah, all we need is to cut off what grows, then it becomes mutter. And finally, they place a temporary Avodah Zarah under the tree. Then he came and took it away, the tree becomes mutter. Gemara. Shmuel says if someone bows down to a tree, whatever grows on it later is usur. The next Mishnah. What exactly is an asherah? Mishnah answers, anything with an Avodah Zarah under it, under that tree, is called an asherah. Reb Shimon says, any tree where they worship the actual tree, that's called an asherah. Gemara. If we see a stam tree, how can we clarify it if in fact it's an asherah? Rav says, if the priests sit under it, but don't eat its peris, it's a simon that they worship it. Shmuel says, even if they say these dates are for the house of Nidrafi, which is a pesel, it's usur, and the halacha is like Shmuel. The next Mishnah. A person is not allowed to sit under the shade of an asherah tree. The Ran here says that's referring to the shadow of an asherah tree. This is, of course, asur ba'ana. But if he did, he's tahar. He shouldn't pass under a branch, but if he did, mid rabbanan, he's tame tumas ayel. But if the branch stole from Rishus HaRabim, meaning that it stood over, or it was branching out over Rishus HaRabim, then he's tahar. Gemara. Takravas Avodah Zarah is metama ba'ayel. This is learned from Mace. Reb Sheshes was blind, but he said to his servant, when we pass next to an asherah, push me along as quickly as possible. The next Mishnah. One is allowed to plant under an asherah vegetables only in the winter, since the shade gives no benefit to the vegetables in the winter. But in the summer it's usur, since it benefits the vegetables via the shade. Rabbi Yossi says it's usur all year, since the leaves that fall off from this asherah tree act as a fertilizer for the vegetables. Gemara. Even though the ground, which is mutter, assists in the growth as well, we see Rabbi Yossi holds, zev zegerim is usur, because both the ground and the fertilizer are helping it to grow, Yet, since he says it's usser, we see zev zegarim, since both of them cause it, it's still usser anyway. The Rabbanan, however, hold zev zegarim is mutter. In other places, we see just the opposite. If a cow ate grass from a avodah zara, since it eats things that are both usser and mutter, we say that it's mutter to eat the meat of this cow, since zev zegarim is mutter. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if an isser and a heter fell into a mix, if the last thing that fell into the mix was usser, we say zev zegarim usser. If the last thing that fell in was mutter, we say zev zegarim is mutter. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that zev zegarim is mutter. The Mishnah. If a person took wood from an asherah and used it to light up an oven, if it was a new oven, so this fire strengthened the oven, then you must break the oven. Yutatz, that's called. If it was an old oven, it remains mutter, and you just let the oven cool off. Yutzan. If you baked bread before the oven cooled off, then the oven becomes usser bahana. The next Mishnah. How is one mavatel an asherah tree? He must cut off a branch or leaf, and it's bata. Gemara. If he just trims it to make it look nicer, the bittel is not good, and the tree remains usser. This marks the end of this perek. Let's just include with a tshuva brought in Igros Moshe Yeradeya Chelek Aleph Simen Samach Tes, where Moshe deals with the question as whether it's mutter to buy or sell stamps which have a picture of a cross, because we know that it's usser to get hanah from avodah zara. Is this called avodah zara? Moshe says since stamps are not really treated in a very honorable way, because the post office stamps them, people take mail, which they use, and they throw it into the garbage after they finish reading the mail. So that's really not befitting of how an avodah zara would be treated. Therefore, since the stamps and the cross on the stamps are only for decorative purposes, this is not classified as an object of avodah zara, and therefore stamps which have a cross on them are mutter bahana. Mir Tashama, the next tape, will begin Perek Dalad, Perek Rabbi Yishmael.